Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessed Epiphany to you all. Veni, vidi, vici. You ever heard that phrase before? Veni, vidi, vici. Yeah, some of you are shaking your head. You might not remember exactly where you saw it, but you've heard it, you've seen it before. It's a classic Latin phrase. Veni, vidi, vici. It's from Julius Caesar back in 45. We were studying Julius Caesar a little bit in Bible study today too, weren't we? The Julian calendar. 45 BC, he said that about a campaign up in Britain, and it means, I came, I saw, I conquered. I was victorious. Veni, vidi, vici. If you ever smoke, I don't smoke, but on a Marlboro pack, Marlboro, it says those words. Veni, vidi, vici, in fact. Also on TripAdvisor, I happened to look up online, and I saw on TripAdvisor. Anybody ever use TripAdvisor? Yes, very good. And there's some reviews of places. Well, in Lima, Peru, there was a review of that hotel called the Hotel Stefano. And this person's review was titled, We Came, We Saw, We Left. And they gave it one star. One star. I thought, very appropriate for Epiphany. One star, and we came, we saw, we left. And my question for you today is that the only thing we can say about the wise men at Epiphany? They came, they saw, they left. Certainly that's true part of our gospel. They came, they saw, they left. But is that the only thing we can say? Or is there something more that we can learn about life from the wise men at Epiphany? Other than just they came, they saw, they left. Certainly I think we can do better. And I think we can learn a few things such as this. Number one, they came seeking Jesus, and they saw Jesus, right? They didn't just come, they came seeking Jesus, and they saw Jesus. Can you imagine seeing anything more wonderful than that? God in human flesh, the one born King of the Jews, the Savior of the world, born in Bethlehem, there in that house, star above. Wow, can you think of anything greater to see than God, Jesus, on earth as a man, born in that manger? Wow. My family this past week, we were just talking about things that we liked in 2013. My wife said, okay, ready? Tell me your favorite thing of 2013. Go. Just really quick, so we didn't have a lot of time to think about the answers. But Kate was the first. She says, going to the river. We loved going to the river in 2013. That was fun. Good. Secondly, Sophia said, my birthday party. Had a great birthday party. Yay, good. Not too long ago, really. Great. Then it came to Jonathan. I think Jonathan said, napping. I like to nap, right? Maybe. I'm not sure what he said. And then it came, it was my turn, and I said, I'm going hiking with my wife at Fall Creek Falls this year. That was what I said. I liked doing. That was a great hike. Loved it. Great time with Gretchen. And then Gretchen said, yeah, I think hiking was my favorite thing too. That was great. Favorite thing of 2013. Maybe you guys did something similar looking back at this last year, this week. But really, you want to know what our real favorite thing is? We had time to think about it. Was the time that we spent seeing and seeking Jesus. Right here in God's house. Right here at Praise. With you all. Because Christ is there in you, and Christ is here in his word, Christ is there in the sacrament, Christ is here for us, for our salvation. He's born in Bethlehem right here. If this is Bethlehem, this is where Christ is on earth for me and for you. Our favorite thing is to see and behold God on earth, and here he is. We see him by faith. We hold him in our hand by faith. We had him in our baptism by faith. He is with us. He's for us. Christ is born. Our second birth is ours. That's the gift of Epiphany, is to behold God on earth. And we're supposed to say, wow, the star, the manger, Jesus, he's on earth. Praise be to God. Secondly, the wise men followed where God led rather than where they themselves thought that they would find life and salvation. They followed where God led rather than listening to themselves for where they thought they would find life and light. They followed where God led, didn't they? They didn't follow their own inner voice. The little voice that told them where to go and what to do and where life is. They listened to external things. The external word, you might say. Luther liked to talk about the external word. Not the internal word, but the external word that God gives that we learn about who God is. Not by our inner voice. Not by our inner voice telling us who God is and what we think. but rather God's own voice given through the prophets, by the Holy Spirit, and His Word. That's the Word that we cling to. Not our voice, but His voice. You like Walt Disney? Jiminy Cricket? What does Jiminy Cricket say? Let your conscience be your guide, right? That's why you don't learn theology from a cricket, right? And we don't wish upon a star, right? Rather, the wise men didn't worship a star, did they? They didn't wish upon a star. They found the light in the manger. They worshiped the Christ, God. They wished upon God, if you will, if anything. The voice they heard was not their own voice telling them where to go, but they looked into the Word, and they looked at the star, and they said, ah, a king is being born. The external Word, not the internal voice telling them where God was, but the external Word. That's what we should do, too, to find out where is God today. Is He here? Is He there? Is it? Look in His Word. Look to His church. Look to the gifts He gives. He says, this is my body given for you. There's where you're going to find God for you. Look in baptism. That's where He is for you, washing away all your sins. That's where God is. We look to the external Word, not to our inner voice. Thirdly, we can learn from the wise men, even when God is leading you by His Word, there will be challenges. Certainly the wise men faced their challenges, didn't they? We can speculate a bit. Where are we going to get food on this journey? Where are we going to get water in the desert as we travel far? What about cloudy days? You ever think about that? What do they do on cloudy days? They say, well, we're just going to have to camp out for a while, right? The stars leading them to Bethlehem. Cloudy day, what do we do, Lord? They just had to wait for God to lead them again. God is leading them, but they had challenges. And the final big challenge is when they get to Jerusalem, where that's where the King of the Jews might be born, in Jerusalem, right? The big religious city of Israel, where perhaps these men were originally from or their grandparents were from a long time ago, and they're back. And they're thinking, maybe the king is born here, but he's not there. Where is he? And Herod, that challenge? Oh, really? Where is he supposed to be born? Well, in Bethlehem of Judea, it says in the scriptures. Oh, well, we'll go and find him and come back and bring me word that I too might come and worship him. Yeah, right, right. He wants to kill him. He doesn't want another king. That's a challenge. Even when God's word is leading you, there will be challenges in life, isn't there? Certainly lots of challenges. These are all the devil's attempt to get God out of the lead. But remember, God led Jesus by His word His whole life. And even He had challenges. He was rejected by men. He was mocked. He was crucified. He was betrayed by His own disciples, His own friends. He had challenges, yet God's word was leading him. You'd think everything would be just fine, right? Even with God's word leading, there will be challenges. Why? Well, look at him now, first of all, before we answer the why. Look at Jesus now. Well, now he's resurrected. Now he's ascended on high. Now he's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. Now he's coming again to judge both the living and the dead, as we confess from the scriptures, the external word. God has made him exalted. Even through all the challenges he faced, he was led by God's word, and look at him now. That might be part of our answer. Look at him now. Faith says, hang on. Faith says, see beyond the challenges now and see into the future. See what gifts God has to bring to you later. Don't just live in the now. Live in the later. Live in the now and the not yet, we might say. Despite all the challenges in life, and life has plenty of challenges of following God, we learn to trust the Word and accept the challenges as testing from the Lord. Testing. Faith that is not tested is not genuine faith, is it? Think about it. That's just everything laid out for you, easy as can be. Yep, God's here, there He is. No, faith says to believe in God which you cannot see. The things you cannot test, the things you cannot perceive by litmus tests or otherwise. Does that word, which God has given, does that word plant true faith in your heart, even if it's tested? Oh, Job, were you not tested? And all of us, sometimes we go through our Job moments too. Are we not tested? Even being led by God's word and trusting in his truth, we will be challenged. But God enjoys challenged faith, tested faith. He appreciates faith that is tested because it's genuine faith, genuine faith. And that's one of the lessons we learn from the wise men. They were challenged, and yet they stayed the course. Trusting in God's word. Finally, what can we learn from the wise men about life? Perhaps this. One can bring gifts most rare to Jesus, like gold, frankincense, and myrrh, costly gifts. But the greatest gift is not what one gives to Jesus, but what one receives from being in his presence. In other words, you can bring all you want to the Lord. Your treasures, your trophies, your tablets, your tokens, your trip advisors, your two turtle doves. You can bring all you want to the Lord and lay it before him. God is worthy of the best things here on earth, is he not? He created all things. We should give him our best. That's just like the wise men did. They brought, opened up their treasures, gave him the best. He is the best. But even if we give him the best, we know from his word that sin still separates man from God. Gifts cannot repay for the debt that we owe God, not according to the word. All of our good works, all of our trophies are like filthy rags to God. He can create those things. Nothing we can bring can repay God for all of our debts. So the only thing God is truly pleased with is not when we open up our treasures, but when we open up our hearts to receive his treasure, to receive the gift of forgiveness for our sins, the gift of a Savior of the world, the gift that God is gracious to us in Christ, that gift, knowing who God is, gracious, loving, compassionate, maker of all things, even the author of our salvation. God gives us that gift freely, a gracious gift. We can't repay him for it. Whatever we bring is a gift of love to show our faith, to show our life, and that God would use it for his glory in the church to make known the word of the greatest gift of all, not our gifts, but his gift to you and to me, to all the world, the Savior, to the Gentiles, the wise men, to the Israelites, to all people, Christ, the Savior, the Lord. Finally today, a French poet by the name of Victor Hugo also had a variant on that phrase, veni, vidi, vici. He wrote a poem after the death of his daughter Leopoldine at the age of 19 in 1843. The title of his poem, Veni, Vidi, Vici, with an X, which means, I came, I saw, I lived. As you go home today, I pray that those words would be the summary of what the wise men can teach us from God's word. I came, I saw, I lived. They saw Jesus, trusting that he was the King of the Jews, the one born in Bethlehem for us, the Savior of the world. They saw Jesus. They came seeking him, they saw Jesus. And they lived by faith, knowing that this child would bring victory, Vixie. Victory, Vixus, to those who believe in God's grace in Jesus Christ. Veni, vidi, vici, propter Jesus. Maybe someday that'll be on our tombstone. I came, I saw, I lived because of Christ Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.